Ever eager to educate and envelop your ears with electronic entertainment, your effervescent and endearing hosts have eaten their way through every edible entry from the environment of the electronic superhighway's most excellent endpoint for gaming enthusiasts. I'm talking, of course, about NoobTube. And this is the NoobTube Comcast version 3, or Community Podcast version 3, episode 20. Neither of your hosts' names start with E, so I'll stop that pretense and instead just introduce us. I'm Mixed Up Zombies, and for once doing the intro, which was terrible.
That was awesome.
But to save my co-host, Little G.
Yay!
Who is in the background, because this is the first... I think this is the first time I've ever done the intro.
You did the intro on the first episode.
And it only took me about 4 tries.
And then my ego said, no, I must have control of this podcast.
So...
And then the rest is the show's history.
So this week is going to be a little different. We don't have a guest this week. We've been away for a little while because life and... life stuff. And also E3! If you didn't get from all the E's. We're not taking drugs, we're just talking about E3. And we're gonna, second half of the show, we're just gonna have a little E3 mini podcast. But right now, I think we're gonna head in to what's been going on the forums. Unless you have anything else to say, Little G.
Nope, nothing for me. Just, like you say, a little apologies to everybody for the slight delay in producing a show after the Swoops cast.
Which we will talk about something very important.
We're going to talk about something after that, later on. So of course, thanks ever so much for Swoops, YouTube's very own and very highly esteemed, use the E word there, highly esteemed community director for coming on the show, for gracing our little show with her presence. That was awesome, an awesome, awesome show. I really enjoyed that. We'll definitely look for more guests in the future. Follow up on a few people who've been asking about being on the show. So that'd be cool. But we'll run through our usual stuff at this on this show. We'll talk about, like you say, big threads, discussions on the forums, what people have been blogging about, a little bit about some of the shows and UGC that's coming out. And of course, there's some pretty exciting events. And then, of course, the biggest event of them all, the biggest show in town, the biggest circus that's going on at the moment is, of course, E3.
I was going to say Piccadilly or Piccadilly.
Piccadilly Circus is always the biggest show in town.
Isn't that this week or next week?
It is a week tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So get your shit together, people.
Yeah. I meant to tweet about it yesterday. Actually, I started looking into getting a NoobTube T-shirt from Zazzle, and I've left it way too late. They couldn't guarantee that it would get to over to whatever they have to do to they pack it onto the slow boat over from the US or whatever it is they do. So I couldn't guarantee that I'd have my NoobTube T-shirt.
You'll just go marker.
Yeah, it's Sharpie or nothing for me at this stage.
Or you could take Penfold and just shave a little NoobTube logo into his fur.
Well, actually, I'm gonna be getting my hair cut this weekend. I might just shave an NT into the back of my head.
Just have a family of little G's with
exactly.
Some kind of NT somewhere.
I'm just gonna
get NoobTube tattoos all over your body.
Tattooed on my forehead.
That's how dedicated it's like. I'll never end. This podcast is never going to end for me, man.
Yeah, exactly. You went there, man. NoobTube lives on in my heart.
And on my skin.
Yes, and sadly, on my face.
But going on, speaking of things that are missing, I guess, I don't know how I related that, but...
That was pretty professional.
But what was missing from E3? What would you say was missing from E3? Because we have a thread by our one and only Good Enough For Me saying what was missing from E3. I love rhymes. we're really like poppy today. I don't know why. We're just like punchy and stuff. It's weird. But anyway, what would you say was missing from E3?
That's an excellent question. I was hoping to see a bit more from Project Cafe, or as we now know it, the Wii U.
Wii U.
Is it supposed to be two words? Is it Wii U or is it a Wii U? I'm still not clear.
I don't
about
like
that.
Calling it Wii U.
And if it's a Wii U, is it that kind? That's kind of like, is that the version of Ryu that lives in Wario Land, like Waluigi and Wario?
What? No. You're way overthinking that. There is no Wii's living in Mario Land.
It's, I was wondering if it was like Evil Ryu, you know, he's got a little W-shaped mustache.
Evil Ryu?
Yeah, from Street Fighter.
Oh. Okay.
I guess that's Akuma.
So it's Wii, it's like mathy. It's Wii to the square of you.
Oh, Wii to the power of you, I see.
Yeah, so you're like Ewing your Wii or something, I don't know.
See, that just sounds disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, no, I was hoping for a bit more, just, you know...
Games? Credit specs?
Yeah, credit to Nintendo.
To not give you any information about their cool new thing, or half cool new thing, or one quarter new cool new thing.
Well, the idea of a cool new thing, that's kind of thing, isn't it? And they're an ideas company, I think. That's why I've always
hated them.
Is they're an ideas company, and they are endlessly inventive in their games and in their hardware. But and they're clearly very excited about this thing because it has lots of potential, but that's really all they showed.
Potential, yeah, definitely.
And this was kind of had the possibility to be sort of the first of the next generation of consoles that was being revealed, and actually realistically it
and show you what the new next generation would look like.
Yeah, but it's
which
not really.
We don't know, because I mean half the problem is they haven't really shown us the specs, which it is going to be in the same specs. It's going to have the same processor as the processed Watson, so that's something.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's still, that's something, but that's not everything.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, it's not, I've been looking into this a little bit. It's not Nintendo's style to reveal tech specs.
No, that's not their focus. Everyone else will do that soon enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a little off how they presented. And, like, they just didn't, like, their focus was a little off. And it was that classic Nintendo, our focus is off. Like, here's a koi pond.
Yeah, exactly.
Bird in a koi pond.
His 6,000 Mario's jumping up and down.
I don't like 1,028 Mario. That's Mario 1, wasn't it Mario 128?
Something like that, yeah.
I played that game for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, you know, it'd be worth it, but, yeah. I don't want to sort of, you know, steal from the thread in this conversation, but, Fandango has got an excellent shout right at the end of the thread at the moment, which is The Last Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
Why was there nothing on that? Well, you know, I mean, I know, again, Team Ico, Team Eco, however you pronounce that, they very much work to their own schedule, but come on. I mean, it was 2 years ago now that we saw some big feathery dragon thing. They must have something they can show at this stage, even if it's only a bit more concept art. I don't know. Anyway, so... if anybody's got any thoughts about what they'd like to see from E3, I'd be really interested in seeing that. And also, just to follow on that conversation that we just had about the Wii U, I'd be really interested to hear what I might start another thread on this very subject. But I'd be really interested to see how people see that technology moving forward. What they do with a controller that has a screen and a camera in it and everything else. So But another thread that was started by our very own friend of the show, I'm calling him that even though he's never been on it, Sunflower. He's asking people what their first experience on each of their the consoles or hard, you know, gaming hardware that they've owned. And he's his list, because he's an old dude, goes all the way back to the Atari 2600, and he lists out all the games that were first on his consoles and the impressions and what he thought of them at the time. And that's really interesting. I think we've had similar threads in the past. I think it's fair to say, but as a way of charting your sort of evolution in gaming over the years, that's really, really interesting to look at it in that way and say, yeah, okay, here are the first games that I played on each of the consoles that I've owned.
Mm-hmm. So let's say what it was. What's yours, little G?
Well, do you want me to go through the full list as he has done, or
at least give you a first.
Very well, I'm the same as him.
Error then. As well as you can remember it.
Yeah, exactly. It was a very long time ago now. We never actually owned. I'm old enough for Pong to have been
a thing,
concurrent with my sort of introduction to gaming. But we never actually owned one of those.
Was that your first gaming experience, though?
It was my first gaming experience, yeah. Okay. But then my folks bought an Atari 2600. And we had Battle.
That's a good game.
On it. So we used to play that and Defender quite a bit.
Defender, that's not a very good port, but yeah.
It's a classic game, though, definitely.
Was it good on Atari?
Compared
to the arcade version?
I never had access to the arcade version. Mm. I was only 4 at the time.
Oh, well, that would make it, different.
But it's funny, Saturday mornings were always, everyone having a lie-in, and we'd all go into into the living room with my folks.
A lie-in?
Having a lie-in as in taking it easy, not waking up early in the morning.
That's a British thing, go on.
Yeah, it must be British, sorry. And then we'd all take it in turns to see who could do best on Defender.
Mm-hmm. Family fun.
Happy memories. So how about yourself, Muzz?
The thing is, like you, I didn't have a console for a little while, and obviously, Muzz is pretty young compared to Little G.
Everybody's young compared to me, mate.
But everyone's pretty old compared to me, so. Some of the first I can remember were, Genesis. I remember playing Sonic 2 at, a cousin's house, I think. And then I played at my really good cousins that I know. I played a lot, of Mega Man X on the Super Nintendo.
Wow.
And other games like that. And the weird thing is my cousins never really realized that there was an N64. It was, really weird. Or a GameCube. It took them a long time to get into the next generation. I think they were just so happy. They had a PC that played games, so they didn't even focus.
Yeah.
But the first one I ever got was one happy day, the tax day, where you got money back. was a N64.
Wow.
A copy of Mario Party.
Mm-hmm.
And a copy of Chameleon Twist. And that was... Chameleon Twist is a very weird but really fun game. It's basically, you're this circular dude who... In the sequel, he really looks like a chameleon. In the first one, he could just be Mega Man. No one would notice. And he just he can jump, and then he extends his tongue, and it would work really well if the Wii U or something or the Kinect, because you have to angle it to get around like Spider-Man. You would have to swing around. You would use your tongue. And that was always the hardest part, because it was so hard to get his tongue, like, correctly around, like a pole to, like, get up to the top part and stuff like that. I really would like to see a remake of that game, but it was a very weird game, because, like, the cover has you fighting, like, ice cream sandwiches. And you fight them in the game, and, like, the second boss is, like, a giant ant queen. It's like, Hudson, what are you doing? But it was a fun game.
I'm sold. I'm totally sold. So, it's funny, because
those weird N64 games, man.
Yeah. And I was thinking about this the other day, because there's been a lot, with obviously the Wii U and everything else.
Wii U.
There's been a lot of talk about console names.
Sure. Like,
and I remember the days when the Nintendo 64 was going to be... was called the Ultra 64.
Oh, yeah.
That was going to be called.
And then there was the Dolphin for the GameCube.
Yeah, the Dolphin. Yeah, exactly. So,
and what was for the... Oh, Project Revolution. Yeah.
So,
So, yeah, I should post some more stuff in there, in that thread, but yeah, it's always nice to take a trip down memory lane.
Yeah, exactly, and just
when
a very
it comes
quick
to video games, at least.
Very quick question, just one word answer. What was your first game on your latest console acquisition? What was the last console you bought, and what was the first game you played on it?
Well, that's a complicated answer.
Ah.
Because I had to buy replacement consoles.
Okay. But the last new console
I got would have to be a PS3. Mm-hmm. And I think I got and it wasn't mine to begin with. But I think the first game I really got for it was Uncharted.
Hey.
So,
not
yeah.
bad.
And I need to replay Uncharted because I lost that save file and I was only halfway through. So I got a lot of work to do for free. Same thing with Mass Effect.
Yeah, me too.
Video games, stories.
Video games, eh? Tell me about it.
So much work. First world problems, man.
Yeah, boo-hoo. Poor us, eh?
So, yep. And let's move on to HD remakes. Now, Sunflower, who started this thread as well, is worried that HD remakes are going to kill us. And why is he worried? Because that's what Konami basically said. Well, they said the opposite. They said HD remakes are like the greatest thing ever. We don't have to do any work. Yeah. Because what Konami is doing, and they announced this at their press conference, is having a Zone of the Enders HD collection, a Metal Gear Solid HD collection, and a Silent Hill HD collection. And those are going to be their big games this year, basically.
Yeah, they're pretty heavily mining their back
catalog. And then you can also take a little look at Mr. Nintendo and say, hey, what new 3DS games are coming out this year? Well, I guess you would say these are new. We have Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
Yes.
3DS. Star Fox 64. 3DS.
Mm.
Paper Mario 64. 3DS. Didn't they have one more remake?
Those are the three that I could remember. I don't...
Hmm. Oh, well.
I mean, they're doing Luigi's Mansion, but that is actually
a two. Yeah, they couldn't put that on the 3DS because Luigi's Mansion was powerful at the time.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it was awesome. And don't let anyone tell you.
I'm not gonna argue.
But so what are your thoughts on this? I think it's fine, but I think Jam and Sunflower are a little butting heads in the topic, and that's an understatement, but I think as long as it's not a focus like Konami, however you say it, Nami did it, I definitely think it's fine. Because, like, a lot of people don't really care that much. Like, it's not... It's a nice thing that I will buy, because I never played this game, but it's not like God of... Like, the God of War collection coming to PSP has... Or PS3 will have the first two God of War PSP games.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And then there's going to be the Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. Yeah! I love those games. HD Remake and...
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to focus on that. I mean, I'm going to play Skyrim before I play those games.
Absolutely. And that was kind of my take on it. I think, by and large, I agree with Jam's viewpoint on it all. And yours as well, from the way you were saying it there. And I said as much in the thread. And if people are interested and want to know exactly what I'm referring to there, then they'll need to go into the thread and have a look and contribute themselves. But for me, there's kind of two reasons two good reasons for doing HD remakes. I mean, obviously, you know, you could argue with any case that it's a cynical, lazy way of making a quick buck off an old product. But there's two possible reasons. Two possible benefits, let's say. One is that you get old games that maybe perhaps were critically popular but were not commercially successful. And so therefore, although the games were widely recognized as being good and in some way either influential or classic, but not many people played them. And then this is a way for getting more people to have access to those. And this is very similar to the argument that people had, you know, when, say, like, Virtual Console first came out, and all these games that people had previously been hoarding as collectors, and people were hoarding their copies of Chrono Trigger or of all these rare SNES cartridges. For those, that was an opportunity for people who'd never played those games before and who probably would have to pay through the nose and have to source an original console to be able to
and
access.
That is suddenly called annoyance for most people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And all that does is it takes these
experiences
and shuts them off from 90% of the consumers.
Well,
and you never have that with any other format. You know, you don't have that with films where the older a film is, the more likely you are to be able to access it cheaply. It would never happen with books, where the older a book is, you know, once it goes beyond a certain point, suddenly anybody can publish it and you can get it and you can have access to it anywhere. And so it seems a real shame that there would be this kind of exclusivity to games that actually, in many ways, more people should have access to. You could argue, actually, we need as many people as possible playing these games. So there's that, you know, and a recent example of that is Beyond Good and Evil, which you need
to play.
Yeah, everybody loves that game who talks about it, but then not actually that many people actually played it.
I do.
Of course, and you're a Beyond Good and Evil evangelist.
I need to play the HD version just to support them.
Well, exactly.
That's how much I like that game. It's just like, it's fun. It's a fun game. Exactly. Probably
so
not as good
things,
today,
And of the recent ones that we're talking about, I mean, it's not a great example for me because it's not coming to my console, but the Silent Hill HD collection. I never played any of the PS2
Silent Hills.
So it's generally regarded that Silent Hill 2 is the best of that series. So I really regret not having played those games.
Having a PS3, which was weird that Konami decided to make it a PS3 exclusive.
And I wonder if there's
a money reason behind it.
Maybe. There's that, and the fact that I haven't played Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker. You know, these are really.
You will get some of these, but again, it's. I think what Sunflower's fear is somewhat unfounded.
Mm-hmm. But this will take the place of invention.
Just because no one's gonna pay $60 for this.
No.
They didn't pay $60 for God of War Collection. They didn't pay $60 for Sly Cooper Collection. They're not going to pay $60 for these games. That's the thing. So,
yeah,
and also, crappy ports equal crappy results. Because, I mean, like, same thing with, you could say, well, all we have to do is up it to HD. people notice. Like, the Prince of Persia trilogy, they hardly cleaned it up at all. Mm. When they did the HD versions on PS3, all they did was up the graphics. That's literally all the sound problems that the original games had, all that stuff was still in there, and it was a mess.
Yeah, yeah. So, like you say, these should be and generally are budget releases.
And they should, but they also should have time spent into them as well.
Yeah, but then I suppose, you know, you have to then wonder how much time.
Do they have to rebuild
it? Yeah, do they have to rebuild it from the ground up at that point?
Well, that's funny that we say that because, like, a good example of that is, Ocarina of Time, they're changing the Water Temple.
You're not going to have that same
experience.
Exactly, and that brings me on to the second type of HD remake, which to me feels okay. The fan service version, where they use this as an opportunity to pay back the fans who have stayed loyal to the series and who are probably the guys who are going to pick this up day of release anyway.
Yeah.
And they either kind of wink and a nod and say, yeah, okay, fair enough, we cocked up with that bit, and they touch up the Water Temple, or they remove whatever bit of Metal Gear Solid 2 that pissed people off. Do they just completely cut Raiden out of Metal Gear Solid 2?
Be a short game, but go on.
But you know, they do that, and you look at things like that of the current ones that are upcoming. And we were talking about this before the show. The Halo Combat Evolved
Anniversary Edition.
Yeah, exactly, and that's coming out with, you know, quite a lot of detail that's going to be included in that. You know, there's going to be,
and that's something I'm actually interested in. See, that's the thing, it depends, because you're either getting there's two sides of the coin that you can get. Either someone who's really maybe interested in something they've heard a lot about but never played. Now, that's probably a smaller audience than the audience who has played and wants to reminisce.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's this is this sort of fan service side of things that I think is acceptable, as long as they're not, you know, absolutely fleecing people for it. And the other thing as well is that they're including a lot of functions in there, you know, so that you're going to be able to swap between the old graphics and the new graphics. And they're also adding in, a lot more multiplayer content.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even
using the Reach engine. Sure. So, and all of this is going to come in at a budget price point. And I have to say, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that I bought, Halo as an Xbox Classics and downloaded it from Xbox Live. So I probably wouldn't buy this realistically, but it has to be said, when you look at the
amount,
if it is at a lower price point and the amount of maps that are going to be thrown in that you can then use with your current version of Reach,
yeah.
It actually does start to sound like a pretty good quality, good value package. I'm obviously a massive Halo fanboy, but I don't want to focus on that too much, because a lot of the other HD packages have done something similar. You know, the HD packages of God of the War, those were improvements on the PS2 versions of the game, and that was kind of, you know, a nice little bit of fan service there. So,
sure.
I think it is a valid thing to do, as long as, and this is kind of to Jam and Slater's point, as long as you don't then utilize that as a
put that money other places, not just constantly refueling the engine.
Yeah, because after a while, you know,
the engine's going to be empty.
Yeah, and the snake starts to eat its own tail, and there's only so many times you can go back to your back catalogue if your back catalogue is already full of nothing but
which
your back
catalogue. Which is a problem I'm feeling Nintendo is starting to do.
Quite possibly, and that's been an accusation for a while, that they mine their main franchises way too much.
But
for a company that, as I was saying earlier, is based around creation and innovation.
But the thing is the good thing, and I haven't seen Nintendo this bad though, like saying, oh, we have all these like, focusing on all these remakes. Like, it's like, it's really weird, because normally, at least Nintendo's like, yeah, we make a Pokemon every 3 to 4 years, but here's Pokemon Black and White, which is a completely different gameplay experience than all the other Pokemon.
Yeah.
So, it's just like, it's a little odd.
I agree.
But probably those other ones on the 3DS with the 3D is such a different experience too. I don't know. But moving on.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Not so very good long, there. But very good discussion. We had the blog section, and
yep, so,
I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, so I was keen to talk about this, and for reasons that will become obvious fairly soon. But one of the blog posts that really caught my eye was by fellow Brit Nutter27, or the Nutter27, who has put up his impressions of the recently released rallying game from Codemasters, Dirt 3. And he's done it in an interesting way, where he's compared Dirt 2 to Dirt 3, and sort of picked out the points where 3 is better than 2, where 2 is better than 3, and what his overall impressions of the game are. And the reason it stood out for me, well, one of the reasons it stood out for me was because, let's just say his impressions were very different from mine. So it's worth a look if you're interested in that game, and you want a bit of a point counterpoint between two British people who like racing games.
Mm-hmm. And the 1B has really been using our blog system to its fullest.
Yeah.
He's been, for one, talking about how he's losing weight, and for two, giving us a little picture every day. He's doing a little picture blog, and that's really cool, because that's the thing. It's hard to say, well, I'm just going to write whatever for my blog, but it's also really impressive when you can stick to something and actually use the blog system for what it essentially is, a blog system.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and this is something that we've experienced not just, you know, even just this week, of sticking to something, saying you're going to do something regularly and then sticking to it is...
Like, we're not doing so well right now, but...
But it's challenging. It's not easy.
Yeah.
And you know, he said in one of his earliest posts in the series of photo blogs that he's doing, you know, he's doing it, A, to get out and get a bit more exercise, you know, walk a bit more. Although it did sound like he already walked a long way
sure.
as part of his day-to-day, you know, sort of routine, but also just to see different places and try different things, and that's pretty inspiring as well, just by its own, you know, let alone all the different stuff, you know, the sort of, it's a whole, you know, we're sort of, I'm getting exposed to a bit of the US that I would probably never see, and it's just really, really interesting. So, I mean, good on him for sticking with it and doing it and you know, sharing it all with us. I think it's really lovely to see that.
So, moving on again.
Yes, move on. Yeah.
We're going to have a little short UGC and reviews for one sec. First off, we're going to talk about a new podcast that has entered the NoobTube arena called the NoobTube Sound Off by our own Greyhound, Plankton, and Smokestorm. Well, and the cool thing is they're not going to be the only ones.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Supposedly, they're going to have a spinning chair that will move them along whenever a special game comes out to talk about whatever game.
Yeah. So get the people who are playing the games in to speak about them. And I suppose in many ways this is kind of an open call. I think you know, if you're running a podcast in that format, what you will always need, if you're going to be consistently, you know, turning over and talking about the latest games, is, you know, you need people who are passionate about those games and who are interested in those games and who are able to talk about them fluently. So I think if anybody is at all interested in taking part in the NoobTube Sound Off, this is a community project. And if people are interested, then they should get in touch, you know, with Greyhound, with Plankton, and sort of, you know, get a feel for, you know, whether they might be able to take part in the next show or any shows coming up in the future if there's mm-hmm. games that they're intending on playing.
Mm-hmm. So, I'll cover this other little thing. Hey!
Hey!
Someone wrote a Dirt 3 review. I wonder who that was. Well,
who could that possibly be?
I think his name starts with little G.
Hey!
How does that happen? So, I haven't read this yet because this literally came up pretty soon before we started doing podcasting.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
you may have noticed that the show notes that we normally prepare together before the show weren't very comprehensive from my end, and that's because Locke was kind of pushing me to get this review out the door.
That's good, because we need the Dirt 3 review. And Fandango said that this was a contender for review of the year.
God bless that man. I mean, so, coming from him, that's really high praise.
So, definitely, it sounds like you're doing a good job. And we've been talking a little. Maybe we'll see some video reviews. Who knows?
Yes.
Little G, but we only have so much time because we gotta. This sounds terrible, but we gotta beat the baby.
I need to get any creative ideas, anything like that. I need to get it out of the way in the next 2 weeks.
I know.
But yeah, no, it was actually really fun writing the review, thinking about a game in that way, forcing myself to make sure I experienced all the various different bits of it. And I've got to be honest, I didn't complete the game. I didn't play it all the way through because I wanted to try and get something written fairly soon. And this is my first one. I've never written a review before, so it was a different way, different experience of playing a game. Unfortunately, not worked out that well, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of the game.
For the $60 that you spent.
I kind of took a bullet for the team on this one, but, you know, that happens from time to time. And
well, when you review games, yeah, that happens.
Yeah, exactly. So it was fun, though, and I guess I'll just keep my eyes peeled for upcoming games that I'm willing to take a punt on and
I was going to say Dirt 4, but it doesn't sound like that's going to happen.
Well, you never know. You know, I
give games a fair shake.
You know, you've got to do, haven't you, really? I don't want to go into too much of the stuff that I discussed in the review, but I've got very fond memories of the original games in this series.
With Colin McRae, being live.
Yeah, PlayStation 1, yeah. Back in the days when he was Billy Driver and Steve B still alive, but what this game has made me realize is that I do miss the type of game where you play a proper rally
racing game.
Yeah, you know, where you're doing the time trials and you're competing against the same, you know, against different people. I really enjoyed it. So we'll see. Maybe something else cut down the road. Maybe a complete switch away from the world of rally racing to something else. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
We shall see. Okay, so that's enough. We weren't going to talk about anything else from the UGC and review section, were we?
But there's tons of stuff, so keep checking that out.
Yeah, do. And you know,
and there's even stuff that doesn't always make it to the forum. Like Locke and Sunflower did very good roundups of the big three E3 conferences. So check those out as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was about to mention, because we've talked about E3 a little bit already. And you know, I've said this before, I'll say it again. It's, you know, the UGC is really going from strength to strength at the minute, and it's just wonderful to see. Really, really great to see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll move on from that. The events?
Sure.
Happy for me to take this first one?
Yeah. Yeah, it's your thing.
It's my thing, yeah, definitely. So, a week on Saturday of this week, on June the 18th, UK meetup. It's happening, it's fast approaching. Unfortunately, I failed completely to get a NoobTube t-shirt in time, so
markers and stickers.
Yeah, exactly. Identifying us as a group might be a little bit hard, but we're all going to be there. Fandango's
just get like a there. Just go to your. Well, I guess they don't. Do they have Kinko's in Britain?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, go to Kinkles and just get, like, a NoobTube flag and wave it around. And it's like, and then it'll be like some officer will be like, are you trying to take our country from us?
Exactly. Is this some kind of demonstration? Yeah. Better video games. Woo! We demand less tax for British video game developers. Tax breaks. So, I'm looking forward to that. And it's going to be, you know, fairly, it sounds like it's going to be a fairly adult affair. I don't think there's any particularly young members coming along, so we'll probably stop for maybe have a couple of cheeky beers in the evening. Who knows? But I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be really, really great. And if anybody out there is listening to this who is perhaps considering coming along but maybe was a bit feeling a bit unsure or anything like that, just come along. You know, you can't hurt, and at the worst, you're going to spend a day in London mucking around with arcade games and seeing some of the sights. So well worth it. Well worth it, I'd say.
I just had a short thing to say. PAX is officially sold out. So I think we have a thread to WTB, which I assume means want to buy or when to buy, and it would have been too late if it was when to buy, but if you want to buy tickets, try that thread, or maybe try some of the members around, because right now we are... any tickets that you didn't get, unless you want to pay for the news through a scalper.
Yeah.
Which there definitely will be scalpers,
I'm sure. I'm sure.
But like I was saying to Little G, it's going to be like Comic-Con soon, where it's just like, and it kind of is like Comic-Con.
Sold out in minutes.
Yeah, sold out very, very fast.
Yeah, so unfortunately... Normally, I think even last year by this stage they were still selling single day tickets, and even if you'd missed out on the 3 day passes, you could still.
No, I think they. I didn't even hear about them selling out 3 day.
Oh, really?
They might have. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they did sell. They sold out the 3 day fairly early on, but then they were still able to. They were still selling like single day tickets still quite late.
Yeah, single days are out. Everything's out. Jeez. It's been 3 months, and it was a while before. It's been a while. We just haven't reported it, but yeah. Mm-hmm. And
so that, just incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, and incredible. Speaking of incredible, the NoobTube 50x50 Gamer Challenge, which I have been participating in, our good friend of the show, as Little G would say, Sunflower, has been making this really complicated box art challenge where you have to get the tiniest little peek at a box art, and I got like ridiculous ones. I got like Spyro Year of the Dragon, or what? It was like some Spyro game, because I just knew I saw the purple lightning. I was like, I know that man, it's Spyro, because he's got purple lightning, even though it's supposed to be purple fire, but whatever.
And then, the dragon shoots lightning, is he? I'm not sure.
But, yeah, it's really fun, and I showed it to one of my friends, and he's like, I have no idea on the ones that are left, so maybe you have an idea. And maybe we can finally put this thread to bed, because this is one hell of a thread.
It's called a challenge for a reason.
Yeah, participating in this thread for at least a month, so if you can finish it off, that would be wonderful. And I'm looking at it, hoping that I will incept the ideas of the, I will incept the box art, just like, So, last but not least, we have a new event that I am going to start participating in starting this weekend. NoobTube Gaming 101 with our good old friend Dr. Gumar, it's similar to the NoobTube Gaming Club, where he picks one game a month, and our assignment is to play it in that month and write our experiences about it.
Yeah.
So this month is Darksiders, and I just downloaded Darksiders on Steam. That was a big download.
I bet.
But I'm excited to play it. I'm probably going to play it with the 360 controller since I have a wireless receiver for that. Cool. And it seems like it's going to be a fun game. And it's already getting some steam, so hopefully we keep it up.
Yeah, definitely. I was really, really pleased to see this type of event come back. And you mentioned the old gamers clubs. So this was something that was kind of Tricker.
No, it was Decker.
It was Decca, sorry. Why did I say Tricker? So it was Decca, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he used to do it, a couple of years ago now. And it is just a really, really nice way to get people to pick up a game that they maybe is sitting in their back catalogue and they've never got around to finishing it or whatever. And you can, and really, for want of a better phrase, really geek out on it and know that you're talking to people who are going through the same experience as you.
And that's one of the nice things that sometimes the gaming discussion, I feel, lacks.
Yeah, I think so. I think you get a bit of a buzz in the gaming discussion, maybe for the
on
first...
On new games, at least. You can't...
Yeah.
Once the game has gotten old, it's hard to get anyone talking about it again, unless it's just like a general thing in IRC. Like, oh, that game was fun.
I agree, yeah.
And
yeah,
it's good to go back.
Whether or not they liked it, but then that's about it, isn't it?
Yeah. So, that brings us to the end of part of the show. So,
yep.
Follow him, the other person on this call, and
hello.
Call me Little G, and me at Mixed Up Zombies. Go to NT Comcast V3, which I'm going to check one sec, because I did ask...
You did.
On the Twitter and on the messaging to send us anything at Comcast V3. I don't think we did, but I would like to thank Fandango. He sent me a message. It was a day late for the Swoops cast, but there were some good achievement-based questions in there. And
we'll have to.
If Swoops ever comes back on, we will answer those questions, because we totally spaced on that to some extent. And so also go to NT Comcast V3 on Twitter for episode recordings, miscellaneous info. We've been retweeting, and we would really like to thank Kate Faber, whoever runs the YouTube Twitter, for giving us shout outs.
Yep.
And Ineptic for posting us in the introductions, if I'm right on that.
That's right, yeah. Ineptic has been pushing people, new members, to have a look at the little
insight onto how the forums work, in a way.
And actually, sorry, I'm just going to completely derail this conversation.
Sure.
Tons of new members at the moment. So
yeah.
Hello, all. And if any of them are listening,
sure.
Welcome to the site. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you dig in all the crazy shit that's going on the forums.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fantastic. There's a real, real buzz.
And
just going into that introductions forum. And if anybody's listening to this that never goes into the introductions forum, do that. Go in, pop in. Just, when people come in and say, hey, I'm new to the forums, just say hi to them. I think, it that's such a, really great way to just sort of first touching point of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what people say, find out what people think, and there's this bog standard response that we're kind of all giving of, say, hey, welcome to the site, make sure you check out the UGC, make sure you check out the IRC, but maybe there's other people who would actually want to say check out the events or check out the media discussion or check out, and so
sure.
if loads of new members, welcome to them all, hi, three panels max, all the other guys that have joined recently, welcome to the show, and welcome to the show, welcome to the forums, and fantastic news. I think it's really, really exciting at the moment.
And also, if you want any tips or anything, if you just want to talk us to talk about stuff on the show, feel free to email us at comcastvfree@gmail.com. We do have a Gmail. And mm-hmm. any of your questions or even suggestions for topics, if you really liked the topic and you wanted us to talk about it, but we never did, we'll definitely do that. And also, if you want to be a guest, we really don't have any requirements, as long as you're loud and proud about NoobTube, and that's about it. So, yeah. So if you want to be a guest or PM us on the NoobTube site.
Yep.
Also, I'm still waiting for Monochromatics and Telchik to participate in our following contest. I'm giving away a copy of Wallace and Gromit, Grand Adventures Episode 1, for a new image or for our Twitter and RSS feed and iTunes image. That is 600 by 600 pixels, and one for the RSS image, which is 144 by 144. This contest and this announcement will not end until we get 5 submissions, so that means do something about it.
Do something. Muzz is getting sick of saying that.
And finally, finally, this was crazy, and this is why we really wanted to thank Aneptic Cadefather, the guy who runs the new YouTube Twitter, whoever that was, because I know multiple people run it. Whoever did all that, and anyone else, and also Swoops herself, we had for the Swoops cast last week a crazy 91 listens.
Wow.
Just growing our road to 50. And if I counted non-unique, which I'm not exactly, I'm guessing someone just downloaded twice, we would have over 100. But right now, we're going to move on to 100.
Wow.
So we've just, you know, and we would really like to thank everyone for that, because that shows that we're going in the right direction, we're keep moving on.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the big thing for us, is that, you know, we're not precious about the show. We make it for the community, and if there's different things that people want to hear, then we're all ears. So if you've got any suggestions for things that we can do different that would make it better, that might bring in more listeners, that might make it more, you know, more interesting for a broader audience, then post it in the thread. Post, you know, send us a PM. Don't feel afraid that we're gonna sort of, you know, take any sort of advice or constructive criticism, you know, badly. We're both big enough and ugly enough to take that. So, yeah, you know, this is a road that we're both on, and we've hit. This is episode 20.
Yeah. So maybe on episode 20, we'll have 100. We'll times everything by 5.
That's right. Then episode 21 will be we'll have 500.
And then we'll drink a lot.
Who knows?
So that's the end of this part of the show. If you'd like to stick around for the E3 special, you can by just waiting a couple seconds. But for now, I'm going to say toodle-os.
I'm going to say toodle-at.
And we'll see you in a couple minutes if you want to stick around. So welcome back. And we are talking a little bit about E3 instead of games this week. One, we haven't played a ton of games. Little G's busy with a baby. I'm busy with work and school. Just started back up, but we haven't been busy, or we have been busy watching all the E3 press conferences, or most of them. Some of them we kind of skipped because, well, they were Ubisoft press conferences.
I was going to say, we kind of skipped because the Mr. Caffeine was getting very, very annoying, and we just needed to move on.
And anyway.
Anyway, so we're just going to very quickly whiz through sort of some of our highlights from E3. If we tried to cover the whole thing.
We're going to cover the whole thing. Then we were originally going to just do favorite worst moment of every conference, and that still would have been too long. So we're just going to do best game, biggest surprise, best prize conference, and best game not shown at a press conference. And just talk a little more after that, but that'll be about it.
Yeah. So just a quick sort of bite-sized chunk, hopefully. Yep.
So obviously, we're going to start out with best game. Now, I wonder what Little G's best game...
What could it possibly be?
It's going to be Dirt 4 or Halo 4 or Combat Anniversary.
That Anniversary Edition, yeah. I'm sold. I'm absolutely sold. Or, you know, maybe Assassin's Creed, even though I've never actually played an Assassin's Creed game.
Or what's a game you really hate? Or like a PCRTS that I can't think of. Or...
Yeah, exactly. A game that I will never, ever, ever play in a million years. Well, I'll be honest. Of course, my game of the show is Forza 4.
But you're still a little worried about it.
I am a little bit because I mean, all the way up to E3, I was just thinking this is basically Forza 3.5 with pointless Kinect.
Connect to Forza.
Yeah, exactly. It really didn't look to me like it was going to add. I mean, obviously it's a racing game. How much can you realistically add? And they
added a lot to Forza 3. That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean the functionality of Forza 3 is bloody impressive.
I do want to see that Night to Day feature though.
Yeah, weather, night to day, those things would be really, really cool. I don't know how easy that it would be to apply that.
Well, they did that in Mod Nation Racers, but that's a different kind of setup, so.
Sure, yeah. And they did it in Dirt. Dirt 3's got daytime, you know, day-night settings and weather.
Well, Mod Nation Racers, you can grab the sun and make it, like a little dusk or...
Really?
Yeah, but it's kiddie, so it's not like really complex. It just
sure. But you know, within seconds of starting to see some of the footage creeping out from E3 or Forza 4, I'm like, ha, I've got to have this game.
I'm gonna race.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I wanna stick pictures of anime girls with big boobs on cars.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, so
not my first choice, but go on.
it does look very good. The graphics look superb. They're saying all the right things about it, which is what matters most to me. So I just can't wait. I cannot wait for the game to come out.
And if you're looking for girls and big boobs, go to Heroes of Crown. Was it Heroes of Crown .com?
Dragon's Crown.
Yeah, that has some craziness in it, so
we
won't be talking much about that here, because that game looks a little too crazy.
Yeah.
It's just like, what? How's that lady standing?
Yeah, how are her clothes staying?
But speaking of being able to stand because you were hit by awesomeness, Elder Scrolls V, Skyrim, footage shown... At E3 has dragons flying. You get to stab dragons in the head. They'll actually like fall realistically when you hit them. There'll be hundreds of dragons in the world, and they'll like fly around. It looks awesome.
I'm getting the impression that my co-host is
excited, rough. And I don't even know what the normal Elder Scroll parts will be like.
No. Well, none of us do we? Of course, but.
The dragon parts look sick. That's all I care about right now. But if it has a good Elder Scrolls part of it too, epic bonus.
So you're a big Oblivion fan?
I have all the defined big. I haven't beaten the games, but I own all the content and everything.
Yeah, sure.
I need to actually play Elder Scrolls. One of my friends is obsessed with it. He's done everything once, and now he's doing it again.
Jeez.
He's done all the guilds, all the side quests, everything once.
Jeez. See, even from the outside, I know
that's at least probably 200, if not 3. So that's a lot of time. I don't know if Elder Scrolls 5 will be a more streamlined experience, because that was one of the... It's a half a problem, it's half a good thing. All the good stuff in Elder Scrolls 4 wasn't in the main quest.
Yeah, and I think that's the standard thing for their games. It's the same with, you know...
Fallout to some extent.
Yeah.
But at least Fallout had something in it, where... These were pretty dull, but Elder Scrolls V looks really good, and I'm very excited about 11/11/11. It's going to be Dreamcast all over again. Hopefully it actually succeeds. It doesn't break like a Dreamcast.
Like a Dreamcast did, yeah. I'm not going to break your heart and start asking questions about the number of bugs that you're going to see when you're
Dragon. I don't. You know, Elder Scrolls really isn't a bug, at least, you know, I think once they started putting guns into Elder Scrolls, that kind of, and, you know, it's Fallout, so it's a completely different game, but it's still using the Elder Scrolls engine. That kind of broke the game.
Yeah.
But, they're using a whole new engine.
Oh, really?
That's a huge
That's
they wouldn't be able to do half of what they're doing. They're using a whole new engine. I mean, they're using it's not really Gamebryo still. Mm-hmm. I think it's still using Gamebryo, but they're not using, like, what they used with Fallout.
Wow.
Or Fallout New Vegas or Elder Scrolls. So it's gonna be when they made Elder Scrolls 5, they made Elder Scrolls 5. This isn't a side, you know, whatever.
That's really interesting. Mm.
And that's part of the thing, so they couldn't do some of the stuff. They would have had to really mess with the engine to do some of the stuff I saw in the trailer.
Wow.
So how the creatures react realistically. There's woolly mammoths, there's giants, it's awesome.
Cool. Just to break the back of me being really wholly unoriginal and talking about 4-4, I just want to give a couple of honorable mentions, if I can, on the best game front.
Go on.
A bit naughty, I realize, but Far Cry 3 and Battlefield 3 have both got me really interested.
And I thought that was really interesting, because, I mean, you're big into Battlefield Bad Company, but I never really saw... I mean, I haven't seen that much footage of Far Cry 3, but I've never really known you to be... You've never played a Far Cry, to my knowledge, and...
No, but I haven't played it. Doesn't mean I actually played the bloody thing, come on now. Let's not go completely crazy. I bought the game, that's as much of a commitment of time as I'm willing to put into it. I admire the game's scope. And the way they sort of
Far
go
Cry
about their business.
2 did that well.
Yeah, exactly. So
but it was annoying to some extent.
Yeah, I bet as well. So I want to give it a go.
And it's interesting that they're bringing back that series after such a weird sequel.
Yeah, of course.
That's not even a sequel. Far Cry 1 is not. Far Cry 2 is not a sequel to Far Cry. I'm concerned.
Yeah,
it's nothing. The only thing that's similar is guns, first person, and big ass map. Those are your three things.
Yeah, exactly. I'm starting to wonder if Far Cry is just kind of like a Final Fantasy equivalent.
Well, I get Ubisoft's Final Fantasy.
Well, but you know, the games
then
have almost
a bearing. Guy in and he's like, ah.
But yeah, because I think that I think even the protagonist in Far Cry 3 is different from Far Cry 2.
So well, the thing about Far Cry 2 is you had 8 different protagonists, or 7 or 6 or 8, and then whichever one you didn't pick, those would help you in the missions.
Mm.
It was like, oh, I can play this game infinitely in a way.
Mm-hmm. Because I can always go back and repick and change the game around. And then of course Battlefield 3. I never thought this would happen to me. I never thought this would happen to me, but I've actually become a modern day combat shooter, first person shooter fan, and Battlefield
looks good.
Bad Company 2 was the first game I've ever owned where I went to the multiplayer first, and I still haven't touched the single player campaign yet.
Well, Battlefield 2's multiplayer isn't supposed to, or Battlefield Bad Company 2's isn't supposed to be that great, so. But Battlefield 3 looks like it's going to have pretty good single player this time around. My only worry is that it's just their single player is Medal of Honor 2. Single player never made because it's DICE, you know, I mean DICE did multiplayer for Medal of Honor, they didn't do single player, but it is a realistic, not Modern Warfare kind of realistic Middle Eastern first person shooter and that's where they're focusing. So, But it still looks very good, and it looks like it'll be a fun game.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
And what was it? It's like October 25th?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Or November. I think it's October 25th, and there's an early beta.
Oh, right.
And so, getting on off the best game hype, let's go on to our biggest surprise.
Biggest surprise, yeah. Do you want to do yours first, Muzz? Cause,
sure. Because
I want, as soon as you wrote this one down in the show notes.
You were like, I wanted that.
Yeah. Now you said it, as soon as you said it. So go on, you talk about yours.
So, there was this little thing called the NGP, or the PlayStation Vita, or Pita Pit, as some people are also calling it. And the PlayStation Vita was well known as, like, how much is this freaking thing going to cost? Is it going to be $400, $500? I think it's going to be over $1,000. Would have been way over, my friend, at the Price is Right, because it was only $250 for the Wi-Fi version. Now, there will be a 3G version, and that one will be $300, which isn't that bad. That's the Apple way of doing it. So, actually, it's kind of better than the Apple way of doing it. And they haven't completely explained what the 3G, how that's going to work. So maybe you want to wait a little before you're I'm going to pre-order. Well, they said it would be AT&T, but they're not explaining what the fees are going to be or anything like that.
Yeah, and apparently the AT&T announcement was greeted with open guffaws of laughter in the auditorium. So we'll see how that pans out for them. But $250 for the
too bad you're getting $250 as well.
Yeah, that's par for the course, unfortunately.
Yeah, which isn't actually correct, but you know.
Yeah, no. I think
you got a stronger dollar, so we need more of your money.
Yeah, exactly. We can't argue with it, you know. I mean, $250 is still bloody good.
Yeah, so that's a really good thing, and that's almost making me more excited. I might spend all my Wii U money on a PlayStation Vita.
Who knows? Hey, wow.
So, it actually has games.
Actually has games that you can carry around and.
Well,
play
not
on the
even
bus.
Carry around, but I don't even care about that, but it actually has games.
Oh, you mean it actually exists?
It doesn't have Koi Pond and Lego City Stories.
Hey, listen, Koi Pond, game of the show. I'm changing it, it's not Forza 4.
They had Koi Pond playable, you could change the angles of Koi Pond on the Wii U. They had a live tech demo showing Koi
Pond. There you go, interactive game.
People said it looked good. But that was it, because it was just an angle game.
Nintendo is unparalleled in its Koi Pond technology. This is what the future is.
Koi Ponds. Koi Pond. Ponds and Koi. So, getting off the Koi Pond discussion, we're moving
If we keep saying that, those words enough, then they'll just lose all meaning altogether.
So, Koi-pon, Metal Koi-pon. Gear Solid.
So yeah, my surprise, it rather pales in comparison to the Vita announcement, but I just was really pleased to hear the news about the Metal Gear Solid collection, which is going to contain HD versions of Metal Gear Solid 2, Metal Gear Solid 3, and Peace Walker, which I thought was very interesting. And the big announcement was that Konami and Kojima, from this point forward, are going to be cross-platform.
Yeah, so now you will cross-platform is a fun way of saying we're still going to snob all those PC players, but...
PC, but yeah.
But PS3 and 360 are going to see the light of day, so it's cool. And the Transferring,
yeah.
Will
exactly
have...
Times.
You can't do that because you have a 360, but if you have PS3... The PSP, you can do that in Peace Walker, which seems like a cool thing. I mean, then you have to... And Peace Walker's coming down in price, so that's actually feasible instead of spending $90 on it, as you would when Peace Walker first came out. So it definitely is starting to work.
Yeah.
And then there's always Mega 64, which was really funny, doing the transfer ring. So, which Lil G hasn't seen.
I haven't seen that, so I'm afraid that's... sailing over my head that.
So, best press conference.
Best press conference, and this is where Muzz and I have to now arm wrestle, because we can't agree.
Because I don't like the Wii U.
Whereas I'm kind of, at the minute, I'm still kind of sold on the Wii U. I could...
Wii U.
Name aside, okay, apart from the name. So I'm saying that...
But there's no games!
Cards on the table. I'm saying that Nintendo had the best press conference, and Muzz is saying that Sony had the best press conference.
Sony had the best... Like, let's use the baseball terminology in this way. Sony might have had a bunt or a slow hit, but Nintendo and Microsoft had strikes. So at least they hit the ball.
Yeah, at least they made contact with the ball at some stage with their bat.
I mean, first thing they were just like, "We done goofed."
Hey, yeah, no, they handled that very well. You know, to be serious for a second, they treated that with the respect that it kind of deserved.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge thing, and it was surprising. No one else really called them out on that much. I mean, EA was like, "We're going to be the assholes this year at E3 when they had the Sims Facebook game, and they're like, "Well, you could play your games on a farm, but who wants to do that?" Or Battlefield being like, "Everything will be, all your stat tracking, everything will be completely free." Obviously, Call of Duty Elite.
Yeah, no, they were doing
just
everything.
Just like
they could
digging into everything.
Yeah.
And then, but I just think, what really made you, like, beyond just the potential, what made you interested in the Nintendo? Or was the potential what made you...
I think exactly that. I think you hit the nail on the head. And also, you know...
You have a soft spot for them.
Yeah, exactly. I do too. And the other thing as well is it's a really minor point, and it was a pathetic tug at heartstrings in one way, but the orchestra playing the...
That was a good way to start off the press conference.
A very nice touch. Just a really, really nice touch. And you know, unfortunately, once it got beyond that, it just turned into vaporware, and here are things that we might be able to do.
Shuriken the game.
Yeah, exactly. And people... The one where there was a woman putting the Wii U controller on the floor.
Just like, "Oh, crap! Wii U controller too hard."
200 quid down the drain. No. She had the Wii U controller on the floor, and it had the picture of a golf ball.
But what does... I think that's cool. That's cool in concept. But what does that have any...
This is the thing.
...on gameplay whatsoever, other than immersion?
Yeah, exactly. And this is the danger with the Wii U.
It could just be another... Wii that is cool for a couple minutes, and it's like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. So, I mean, you know... Exactly.
But it's cool for now.
And it was only 2 years ago that Nintendo were... Or not even Nintendo, but the peripheral companies were selling, you know, handles to go on your
Wii
remote that made it look...
They're
like
already doing that with the Kinect. Gotcha. They have, like, plastic wheels for Kinect racing games. Which kind of, it's like, Microsoft's like, "Play with your hands." It's like, "We don't want to."
Yeah, exactly. We need something in our hands, apparently, to be able to control it. So,
but, and Sony just had a lot of actual games, like, and maybe they weren't exactly exclusives, but they were like, "We're going to have Starhawk, we're going to have Project 514, or... Dusk 1-2-1-5-4.
Yeah, that is a crazy idea.
Pretty good. And then the PlayStation Vita announcements, which were fairly good. And then, I mean, sure, they had Infamous 2, which is already out, but you got to talk about Infamous 2 a little bit. And Uncharted 3, lots of footage there, because they actually said, "Hey, we know that free stuff, that's really expensive, at least right now. there's a $500 bundle.
Yeah.
So that's something. I mean, it's 30 inches, but that's still something. I mean, they're definitely focusing. If we're going to get this 3D thing right, we got to find the market and make sure the market can afford it.
Yeah, and if the push starts here, then it's interesting times, certainly.
I mean, definitely, I don't... I have a 3D television. We talked about this before.
Yep.
And the only two 3D games I've been interested in are Dishwasher Dead Samurai, or whatever it was called, because that's a 2D game and a 3D expect.
Yeah, it's.
And that's just cool on its own.
Mm.
And then the Uncharted 3 game. Just because what I've been hearing about Uncharted 3 is they've actually spent time on it. It's not 3D like you would see at a movie. It's actual depth perspective. You're going for this flaming building, the demo that they showed, and the perspective actually changed and helps the game in 3D.
Hmm.
Which is a huge thing, probably in production time and lengthening it, but it's also a huge thing for me as a gamer to actually care about 3D for once.
Yeah,
and play it on the big screen down there because it's like, well, this is really more special there.
Yeah, and there was a lot of coverage of 3D stuff at E3 last year,
mm-hmm.
and I bet you never thought you'd be interested in. I bet at that point you were thinking, oh, just shut up about 3D.
But now it's starting to actually come into a market.
Yeah.
So I think definitely. It's working out, but I definitely think Sony needs to focus right on the 3D and not just be like, here's 3D.
Yeah, they've got to get it right. It could still
blow up in their face.
It could die on its ass, yeah. Let's be honest. I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago that lots of other,
I mean, they were lucky enough not to die on HD.
It was a pretty close thing, that, wasn't it, really?
No.
I think it could have very easily gone the other way.
I know. They were run out of town, so it's lucky Sony made it for that. But,
yeah. Quick question from me, sorry. Was the new Tomb Raider, was that in part of the Sony
press conference? No, that was Microsoft. Microsoft was nice. Okay. That was one of the few things that was really nice at Microsoft. Is Modern Warfare 3 and then Tomb Raider. And then they had the whole thing where it was like, oh, all these games are Xbox 360 exclusive. Now, Tomb Raider looks very QuickTime-y, but it also looks pretty good. So.
Yeah, I'm surprised to find myself interested in a Tomb Raider game as well, really. I haven't played one since the PlayStation 1, and even then I didn't particularly...
Well, it's a whole new franchise, basically. They're starting.
Yeah, exactly. It's a reboot, and hey, if it takes from, you know, I could make a comparison between, you know, the Jason Bourne films and the James Bond films, where Bond films were getting flabby and boring and formulaic.
Or even, you could say, Daniel Craig versus Pierce Brosnan.
Well, that's it, exactly. So, the Bond films were getting stupid and boring and ridiculous and unwatchable with Pierce Brosnan. Then Jason Bourne came along and did spy action, which was gritty and hard hitting and, you know, up close and visceral.
And then Daniel Craig.
And then Bond followed it. Yeah. And it's kind of a similar sort of thing where, Tomb Raider started out with this groundbreaking groundbreaking and really important,
mm-hmm.
and then got boring and flabby and repetitive.
And so many people are using that comparison. They're like, Uncharted clone. It's like, that doesn't really work in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know what? If Uncharted is a great game and, you know, and is generally held up to be one of the pinnacles of game of current console.
You could say about God of War.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true, actually, yeah, sorry. But if you take
the
best
point
stuff
still
of a good game,
extent, yeah.
Yeah, if you take the best stuff of a good game and make it work with your story, with your character, you know, and in a sort of a cohesive way,
mm-hmm.
and bearing in mind that I don't own a PS3, so I'm not going to play Uncharted 2, I'm not going to play Uncharted 3, but if there's a version of Uncharted...
It's kind of like Darksiders, in a way, that you can't play Legend of Zelda, but you can play something that's
very, very
similar. in a way.
And you know, and
it's
I think
a completely different experience if you were to play both.
Yeah, and it's a very very minor thing, and maybe I might be alone in this, but the footage that they showed and the stuff that they were putting Lara Croft through,
mm-hmm.
I think actually that might be quite engaging, sort of trying to keep a young girl safe on a sort of a dangerous, you know, in a dangerous island where she's getting attacked by people and stuff like that. And she's got if she's a real living character who is talking her way through it in the same way that Drake does in Uncharted.
Well, yeah, that was showing a lot of that. It's like
exactly. If she becomes a living character in that process in the same way that he is, then and also it's the very strong sort of presiding feeling of the whole game is that she's in peril the entire time,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to keep her out of that. I think that could be really exciting. That could be really an interesting take on her character, where previously she was this sort of immortal badass who was just killing everything that got in her way. If we can see the steps that she took to get there, I think that could be really interesting. Really, really interesting.
And also, hopefully, it's not like what some fire are saying, and up torture porn or some
yeah,
sort.
Yeah, no, I've got, yeah, if it's that, then I've got no time for that, if I'm being honest.
So, last but not least, other than just the general thoughts, best game not shown at a press conference. Now, I talked about Skyrim, and that would have been my best game not shown at a press conference, but I'm not going to pick the same thing twice, so. So, you go first.
Me first. So, this may have got a mention.
It was mentioned in being part of something, but not directly.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd be surprised if they hadn't made a reference to their
Summer of
Arcade releases.
Sure.
So what I'm talking about here is a Microsoft game or a Xbox game that's coming up on the Summer of Arcade, and it's Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, which I think looks really interesting. It's got sort of, you know, hints of sort of Metroidvania and Shadow Complex to it. You know, picking up skills, going back, using them somewhere else. And also has a really distinctive art style and control mechanism because you're playing as this little UFO thing.
Sure.
Very 50s inspired. I just think it looks really cool, and I'm keen to give that a go.
Mm-hmm. And mine is, I struggled a little to find one, but I'm going to give it to something that I'm still not 100% on. I'm going to give it to The Darkness 2. The Darkness is probably one of my favorite games of all time. And saying, and you would think, oh, well, then the sequel automatically makes it the perfect game for you. Not necessarily. And a huge part of it is Starbreeze makes good games. The people who are making The Darkness haven't made good games. Starbreeze have made Chronicles of Riddick, the games, and The Darkness, guess what Digital Extremes made? Dark Sector and games and clones of other games and stuff like that. But I'm starting to see that it looks like it's actually going to be a decent way to continue the series and actually still make it a little more in your face with the violence and everything like that, which wasn't really the focus with The Darkness 2. You're ripping people literally in half and all that. But definitely, it looks like it's going to work. And I think I'll definitely try it when it comes out. I think it's about October 4th.
Yeah, yeah.
So
obviously, you hope it's not been handed to the B team, but it looks like they're doing some interesting stuff
and
with it.
Other than that, I would also, and I know it's like you're picking two, I would also pick XCOM, because they basically restarted on that game. They've completely changed the game, because originally it was just like a first-person shooter, you had multiple ways to continue the game, now it's like semi-third-person with RTS-based tactic shooting. It's still first person, but they just basically wasted Like, all, they just basically said, okay, this is not working. We gotta press the reset button. And they were willing to do that. And it's coming out in March. So that looks really like a cool game.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it looks like it will be something much closer to what a XCOM person would enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, and I'm not one of those people, but it still looks very good. So, yep, I think that's about it.
Yeah, yeah, a quick final thought from me, if sure. that's okay. Just that I went into this E3 not bored, but just not particularly interested.
On the E3 or just in general?
On E3. On E3.
It would be the same. It wasn't the best E3 this year.
No, it hasn't been. It definitely hasn't been.
The best one was the 2005 one.
Yeah, sure. I could
see
that.
The one with the revolution in the PS3 and all that craziness.
Yeah, exactly.
Or 2006, one of the two.
Mm-hmm. No, I've heard 2005 being referenced a couple of times now as
the best. You
know, the best, yeah.
Because that was when the PS3 was like, graphics! And then exactly, was like, graphics! And we was like, we're not sure yet, because we're still the revolution, but yeah.
This wild, wild frontier of what gaming was going to look like. But, and you know, it was, I knew it was going to be, and it has kind of proven to be, an awful lot of people trying to get us hyped up about re-releases and sequels, which mm-hmm. we kind of knew was going to be the case. But, and I wasn't even, and weirdly, for me, I wasn't even that excited about Forza 4. But as the week has gone on and, you know, cynical as I am, getting sucked in at least a little bit by some of the press releases and everything else, and the conferences and the coverage that's on, you know, NoobTube, the amount of time that people are spending talking about E3 on IRC and everything else. I am actually now quite excited about some of the games that are coming up. So
I'm just trying to think of the big original IPs, and all I can think of is like Overstrike. That's that EA. Insomniac game.
Yeah, Dark Souls isn't really original, is it? It's part of Demon's Souls. Yeah, good point.
That's the only big one that was like in a press conference that I can think about. Like, because Bioshock Infinite, that's still, in some ways, part of a franchise.
That is still sailing well under my radar.
What, Infinite? You're not going to pick it up?
Well, I've still not played the original. I've still not played, and I know, I'm sure it... No, I haven't played one or two.
Well, if you get the PS3 version, you'll get Bioshock 1.
Well, once again...
I don't have a PS3!
My copy of Bioshock is sitting not 6 feet from where I'm standing right now.
You need to play some games, boy.
Oh, fuck. Tell me about it, mate. Tell me about it. I know. What can I tell you?
So, anyway...
Anyways.
So, I think that's about all we had to say about E3...
The Electronic 3.
So we'll definitely keep checking up on... E3 is supposed to come about the same time next year, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, and we'll have...
Hopefully it'll be more exciting this year, because this year was kind of a little... This was, like how Kojima said it, this was a developing year.
I think so. It's a transitional year.
Transitional year. That was actually what he said, not a developing year.
We've obviously got Nintendo have sort of been the first to... They've been the first to hop, as it were.
And they hopped into a Wii U.
They've hopped into a great big puddle of Wii U. But
that sounds awful.
But, you know, next year, who knows, we'll probably get...
The PS4,
at the very least.
The Xbox... Yeah, we'll, 5 million.
Whatever 360 squared is.
7. Everyone calls it the 720.
I really hope they'll do that.
I hope they called it the Xbox 360, right?
Because they want it to be a PS3.
The same amount of numbers, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see.
It's really
weird. But yeah, next year has the potential to be another 2005, certainly.
Yeah. Because still, Nintendo will not have their console out by next E3.
I would be very surprised, yeah.
Well, because they're not supposed to have it out by Christmas. They haven't even started production until fall.
Well, yeah, they've said 2012.
Christmas 2012.
I expect so, yeah.
So,
They might push it for summer.
It's been a long time since the summer release of a major gaming console.
No, you're absolutely right.
Same thing with the games. So yeah, if games gosh, can't do it, then a console definitely can't. I mean, look at the 3DS. That picked a wrong time to even exist.
Goodness me, didn't it just?
So we could just go on all day.
Yeah, why not? Just
end this podcast. So
okay, well, so, fantastic.
And I hope you guys enjoyed. And yeah, it was great talking to you, Little G. And we'll make sure to check out. We'll actually talk about games next week, hopefully, and we'll probably have a guest next week. So
that'd be yeah. We'll keep our fingers crossed for that.
Okay, so see ya.
Thanks, bye.
Motherfucker, I'm awesome. No, you're not, dude, don't lie. I'm awesome. I'm driving around in my mom's ride. I'm awesome. A quarter of my life gone by, and I met all my friends online. Motherfucker, I'm awesome. I will run away from a brawl. I'm awesome. There's no voicemail, nobody calls. I'm awesome. I can't afford to buy 8 balls, and I talk to myself on my Facebook wall. You know my pants sag,